Welcome to your assistive technology update, a weekly dose of information that keeps you up to date on the latest developments in the field of technology designed to assist individuals with disabilities and special needs. I'm your host, Josh Anderson, with the Indata Project at Easter Seals Crossroads in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to episode 672 of Assistive Technology Update. It is scheduled to be released on April 12th, 2024. Today's show, we're super excited to welcome Andreas Forslund. He is from Cognition, and he is here to tell us all about just some of the really cool things that they have available that can help individuals with disabilities with some different needs. As always, folks, we thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, you can email us at tech@easterseelscrossroads.org or call our listener line at 317-721-7124. But right now, folks, let's go ahead and get on with the show. Listeners, we here at the Indata Project are pleased to host a web accessibility webinar for programmers and developers on Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. Attend and join renowned web accessibility professional Dennis Lembry for a full day of training. The training starts with a background on disability, guidelines, and the law. Many techniques for designing and developing an accessible website are then explained. Basic through advanced levels are covered. The main topics include content structure, images, forms, tables, CSS, and ARIA. Techniques on writing for accessibility and testing for accessibility are also covered. If you're involved in web design or development, don't miss this wealth of practical knowledge. Our speaker, Dennis Lembry, is a senior accessibility consultant at DayQ Systems. He was previously director of accessibility at Diamond Web Services and worked several years on the PayPal and eBay accessibility teams. He also has experience at several startup companies and contracted at large corporations including Google, Ford, and Disney. Mr. Lembry published articles, led webinars, and presented on digital accessibility at many conferences, including HTML5 DevCon, CSS DevCon, CSUN, AccessU, Accessing Higher Ground, Accessibility Toronto, and Paris Web. Dennis runs a blog, Facebook, and Mastodon account on web accessibility called WebEx. He created an accessible, two-time national award-winning Twitter app, EasyChirp, which is now sunset. So remember, if you're involved in web design or development or want to learn more about web accessibility, please join us for our web accessibility webinar for programmers and developers on Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. We'll put a link down in the show notes that will get you over to more information as well as our registration page. There is no charge to attend this webinar, but you do need to register. So if you're interested, please check out the link in our show notes. Listeners, today we are very lucky to welcome Andreas Forslund, founder and CEO of Cognition, to the show to tell us all about Cognition and the really great and amazing technology that they have and are working on. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I am really excited to get into talking about the tech and really learning more about it. But before we do that, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure, yeah. Well, I'm 40-plus-year-old white male with a grizzly beard, and my background is design, product and user experience design. Previous to Cognition, I worked at Citrix in their software as a service division, and then prior to that, I worked at Philips Electronics in the design organization, working across worldwide operations for healthcare, lighting, consumer electronics, and semiconductors. And before that, I was a design strategist working with brands, including Apple, IBM, and so on. So, but what got me into Cognition was a personal situation. My mom had pneumonia, which is very common, except it was very aggressive, and it accelerated into septic shock. So she was admitted into the intensive care unit right away. Once she was admitted, she was put on life support and intubated, which enabled her to be sustained, and she was able to be discharged. But during the period that she was in the hospital, she was unable to speak for herself. and she was unable to really move her body. She had no fine motor skills in her hands, and they were also restrained because she had all of her sort of life support on. So for all intents and purposes, she was locked in, but cognitively fully intact. And so that was my first dry run of being a caregiver and a simulation of working with someone who is clinically locked in, even if it's temporary.
Yeah, which kind of you led me right straight into my next question. So what is Cognition kind of as the whole company?
Cognition started out in 2014, focused entirely on looking at augmentative communication, alternative ways for communication access. And so our mission from the very beginning was to assist hundreds of millions of people worldwide that have different conditions that impact speech and motor. So we've been on mission for over 10 years now on trying to unlock communication. But as we've developed deeper relationships in all of these different communities, ranging from stroke to traumatic brain injuries, ALS, autism, cerebral palsy, MS, MD, PSP, SMA, you name it, we've really learned a tremendous amount of working with people in all of their different situations and lifestyles. And as a result of that, Cognition has evolved into really a platform for independence and human agency, so that we anticipate that we're going to be able to deploy our technology to hundreds of millions of people and enable them to do more than just communication. Enable them to be able to use our technology for smart home controls, mobility controls, and also other really fascinating healthcare applications that will be a catalyst for healthcare professionals to unlock new kinds of diagnostics and therapeutics. So Cognition has really evolved over the last decade into really becoming a catalyst for the future of healthcare.
Wow. No, it really has. And I think we're going to dig into that a little bit deeper kind of as we get kind of towards the end. But I want to talk a little bit about the technology. So I know you've got some different offerings. Could we kind of start by talking about the Cognition One?
Sure. The Cognition One was really our we really broke the mold with it, because some of the things that we learned early on regarding communication was most of the tools that people have to assist them require some kind of physical movement, like controlling a switch or moving a joystick or touching a screen, you know. Or if they're using what's called indirect selection, it requires them to use like eye tracking. And so for all the good uses of all these different assistive technologies, they have their limits, you know. And so we thought, well, wouldn't it be amazing if you could just actually eliminate the need to control eye tracking or to do motor inputs at all, and we could just go straight to the brain, you know? And we said, well, who wants to get brain surgery? Most people don't want to do brain surgery. I mean, some people will elect to do it because they need to, but most people don't. And so early on, we started investigating brain-computer interface, so BCI, what we found is that actually early on in 2016 and 2015, we discovered that we could actually do a lot regarding controlling computers with non-invasive wearable brain sensing technology. And so as a result of that, we started working on brain computer interface technology. But we thought that just doing a brain computer interface strap would be the way to go. You know, some kind of headband that you could use to control computers. But then as we got into that, we realized that the computer was also the problem. Most computers were big and heavy and bulky, or they had to be mounted to a wheelchair. And then you had all kinds of other issues, portability issues, light issues, interference with light, ambient light, positioning issues where the eye trackers didn't always behave correctly or needed calibration. So we were like, well, that's going to be problematic. So can we just eliminate the need for a computer altogether and bring that computer into like a heads-up display, like a visor or smart glasses? And so as we iterated, you know, year over year, what we realized is we had to bring this all together into one system. So what we've created with Cognition One is the first ever wearable computing platform that brings augmented reality glasses together with brain sensors all in one package. And that can allow someone to use head tracking, eye tracking, and brain sensing, any one of those or combined, to control their computer, but not a regular computer, but actually apps that can run in the visor, in the headset. So think about it as like a wearable computer that you can control with your brain. And that's really what Cognition One was set out to do. We sent that through initially through the FDA, and we're happy to say that that device received FDA breakthrough device designation. So the goal there with Cognition One is that Cognition One will eventually be cleared through the FDA and will eventually have reimbursement coding associated with it so that Medicare and Medicaid and private insurance could cover it as a wearable computer, as a wearable prosthetic for people. Nice. But in the meantime, we have also developed a derivative version of Cognition One, where we take the same great technology, but we're now making it available to researchers with a slightly different configuration and targeted for researchers. And that product is called Axon R. So we actually have two versions of this. One is Cognition One that's aimed to be a reimbursable device. And product number two is Axon R, which is aimed at researchers who are doing science and clinical research.
Very cool. And I kind of want to dig into both of those just a little bit, but I guess since you kind of mentioned the Axon R, what are maybe some of the clinical uses where it might be useful for research and other things? Where do you kind of see it going with that? Or perhaps where have you been approached for folks to try it?
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, I think the area of assistive technology is the most obvious. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of universities and AT labs that are going to be using it for sort of extending some AAC use cases, power wheelchair control. So we have a university in Canada currently that's directly integrating the brain interface and the heads up display for controls. Like, think about it as like a dashboard, mm-hmm. for driving your wheelchair. And it's, you can wear it, and that's controlling the wheelchair. So that's going on right now. Amazon Alexa, invested in our last round of investment. And so we fully integrated Amazon Alexa. So all of the things you can do with an AI assistant, including smart home controls and reminders and all these other things you can do. So occupational therapists and others who are interested in sort of retrofitting people's homes with smart homes and being able to control it. So that's an area of research, like smart home interfacing. And then on the other side, on the clinical side, we have rehabilitation. So OTs and PTs are looking at it for being able to assess progress, mm-hmm. of things like cervical motion, cervical movement, brain function, attention function, cognitive processing, cognitive load, mental focus, attention. There's within ophthalmology and optometry, ophthalmologists are interested in understanding what's happening in the brain as it relates to measuring early diagnostics of any kind of lesions on the optic nerve, mm-hmm. Or in brain health. Wow. They're also looking at it for some individuals who have their eyes are misaligned. They're looking at ways of measuring changes in ophthalmology to do vision correction. So it's really fascinating, like all these different use cases. We even have one organization that works with individual patients that already have brain implants, mm. for deep brain stimulation, or these implants like you're seeing, like Neuralink and mm-hmm. Synchron and some of these others that are coming soon, if you will, as far as implants. The data that can come from those implants can also be merged with our system. Oh, so wow. This notion of having sort of this sensor fusion or integration between non-invasive EEG data plus implanted data together, wow. is extremely interesting for scientists and clinicians.
Nice. And I'm sure the sky is kind of the limit on that, and it'll probably take it in all other kinds of directions. So that's super cool. And I love that that it's made available so that folks can do that research and kind of build on it and build on the system. Now, kind of back to the cognition one, I know that I can use it for kind of communication and stuff like that. What else can I do with the device?
Well, currently, so the Cognition One is currently, it's in development in the sense that Cognition One is not yet for sale. Okay. Axon R is for sale today. And so, Axon R, if you can, you know, quickly set up experiments, we have tools and software that can allow you to sort of create your own applications and integrate brain data into your applications, to learn more. So that stuff is available right now. People can go online and put deposits down to reserve a system today. Cognition One is still, you know, coming soon. So as far as what it does today, it has so the way it works with an augmented reality is you're not closed in like virtual reality. Augmented reality is like sunglasses with holograms projected onto the lenses. Mm-hmm. So you can see everything around you. And so it's fully wireless. You're not tethered to any computer. And it's like wearing large oversized sunglasses. And so the applications that currently are on Cognition One, include, various, keyboards. So we have different kinds of keyboards ranging from Linotype to QWERTY keyboards to we even have a custom one we patented called the Iris. And so it kind of resembles your iris as like a radial menu that allows you to look kind of through the middle of the screen so you'd never lose eye contact with whoever you're communicating with, but you have equidistance access to every key in your keyboard kind of around the perimeter of your peripheral vision. And so in each of these keyboards has a sophisticated AI model that is behind it that is like a supercharged version of your predictive keyboards that you might expect. And so this AI model is really a reflection of the user. So it can be deeply personalized to the user so that all the words and phrases that get predicted and suggested really feel like they're coming from the voice of the individual. So if somebody has kind of a local flavor for how they talk, like, you know, someone who's in Boston might talk very differently than somebody in Alabama versus, you know, Missouri or Florida. So, you know, so being able to personalize your vernacular is something that's in there. We also have Alexa integration directly in it. So the system can allow you to do all your Alexa stuff inside the system. So that includes playing music, listening to, you know, podcasts, listening to ebooks, controlling your home, smart objects, also, you know, shopping and all that other stuff. So it's really a very immersive communications interface, and all you have to do is sort of toggle between speaking and doing. So
yeah, and I just love the way it has all the different inputs. I mean, that's especially to have, you know, being able to use the brain without the, you know, invasiveness of most people, kind of like you said, aren't ready to quite put something in their head yet unless it's just absolutely medically necessary. So I do like that they have that option. And then you also have something else called Speak Pros 3. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. That's actually that preceded some of the hardware stuff that we've been doing. But it's an AAC application that's available in iOS, so iPhones, iPods, iPads. And we have two versions, Speak Pros 3 and Speak Pros Unlimited. They're basically the same application. It just depends on whether you want a perpetual license or you want to do a month-to-month kind of deal. So, but it provides a lot of what I just talked about in Cognition One, but in a two-dimensional iOS, you know, sort of design. So it has the Alexa integrations. It has multiple keyboards. It supports multiple input methods like switch access, gesture recognition, taps. It can also do face tracking. So we did some really slick eye tracking technology using the iPad and the iPhone using their depth cameras. So you don't need some extra eye tracker to be able to use it. You could actually just use it straight out of the box. And those are really meant to be affordable alternatives to the big expensive eye tracking systems that you might get. So, you know, for those folks who maybe want to try out face tracking or eye tracking, but they don't yet have funding available for like an expensive system, you could simply get one of the latest iPads or iPhones and download SpeakPros, and you'd be up and running with AAC and smart home controls straight away.
Nice, nice. And yeah, I love that you're using the technology that's already kind of built in there in a new way to be able to help folks. And like you said, it makes a big difference in effing to try to get an add-on or a whole another kind of piece. I'm sure you probably have quite a few of these, but can you tell me a story about someone's experience, maybe using, either SpeakPros or maybe even in kind of during the testing and trying with Cognition One, or really anything that's kind of maybe amazed you, or just somebody who's really enjoyed it. Maybe it's made a difference in their life.
Yeah, I'd say like, you know, the SpeakPros is interesting. It's been, we have over 100,000 people that are using it around the world. Most of them are in the United States. But of the types of folks who are using SpeakPros, it ranges from folks with cerebral palsy to mostly a lot of autism. A lot of autistic users are using it. There's a growing sort of emerging group of typers, people who are really proficient. They're non-speaking autistic individuals, kids and teens and young adults who are using SpeakPros and using it daily to interact and communicate. So we're very excited about sort of how that's affordable and accessible for teens and adults who want to sort of break through and you know, go to college or get into high school and things like this and sort of transform sort of the perception of what the world thinks. I think that's really cool for SpeakPros. Some of the things that are pretty amazing with regards to Cognition One as we've been testing it, we have over 200 individuals with disabilities and lived experience that work with us in the design of Cognition One. So we're still a small company. We have roughly a 6 or 7 to 1 ratio of, we call them brainiacs. Our brainiac to employee ratio is like 6 to 1. So, we very much over index on empathy and trying to embed designing with the community. And some of these brainiacs include individuals with stroke and multiple sclerosis and CP, et cetera. There's two stories. I've got a lot of stories. We have pictures of all of our brainiacs in our office. I could talk about all of them, but one of them is he's a DJ. He's based here. We're in Santa Barbara, California, and he lives here in Santa Barbara. He's been with us for a long time, but we had an opportunity to go to New York for an event that Verizon was hosting that was very much celebrating accessible technologies. And we wanted him to go. His dream was to always go to New York. And so, but it was such a pain to get all the transportation set up for him to fly. So his father offered to do a cross-country road trip and drive. And so what he ended up doing is he ended up taking Cognition One on the road. And so as his father was driving, he was in the passenger seat, you know, buckled in with his wheelchair. This gentleman has CP. And he was using our headset every single day at all the stops in the car driving. He was communicating with his father using the headset. When he'd get out to the, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, everybody'd be asking him, like, what is that headset? And he would just have conversations with them very quickly and easily. He even took it out on an Everglade. He took a sort of roundabout down to Florida, and he was on an airboat in the bayou or whatever. And he was literally driving. So I'm like, it's amazing when I think about, you know, assistive technology and how people want to live or how they live. And, you know, most folks tend to sort of stay home, right? Or sort of stay out of the public. And I'm so inspired by our brainiacs that are using Cognition One and our other technology, because I really see a future where everybody's out on Main Street, hanging out together, mm-hmm. doing things, having conversations, living their best life. And when I think about this individual who just took it on the road and was just like, just mind blowing.
No, that's great. And yeah, I always love just, you know, hearing stories, especially when people just kind of amaze you. Cause I mean, really the goal of really any assistive technology is to give folks choices. You know, they can go and do the things they want to do and not have those barriers in place. So I love hearing about that. Andreas, if folks want to find out more, what's a good way for them to find out more about Cognition?
Well, the easiest thing would be to go visit our website at cognition.com. We spell it with a X instead of a T. So that's CognixIon.com, Cognition. And yeah, we have information about our products, and we have, if somebody's interested in, you know, reserving an Axon R headset, they could do that on our website. If you'd like to, actually set up a demo or a conversation with us, we have the ability to just jump right into our calendars and schedule meetings with us if you want to get a demo or talk to someone for customer support. Yeah, we're very accessible as a company and people, and we really want, we want a lot of folks to get access to our technology. And if there's folks out there that are listening to this that are interested in doing, any kind of translational research, clinical research, or any kind of interesting things that Axon R could help unlock or help support you, do reach out and let us know. We'd love to see what you'd like to do with it.
Awesome. We'll put a link down in the show notes so folks can easily find it and reach out. Andreas, thank you again so much for coming on, telling us about the motivation that kind of started everything and just all the really cool things that you're all doing there to Cognition. Thanks again.
Thanks, Josh. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Do you have a question about assistive technology? Do you have a suggestion for someone we should interview on an assistive technology update? If so, call our listener line at 317-721-7124, send us an email at tech@easterseals.org, or shoot us a note on Twitter at Indata Project. Our captions and transcripts for the show are sponsored by the Indiana Telephone Relay Access Corporation, or INTRAC. You can find out more about INTRAC at relayindiana.com. A special thanks to Nicole Prieto for scheduling our amazing guests and making a mess of my schedule. Today's show was produced, edited, hosted, and fraught over by yours truly. The opinions expressed by our guests are their own and may or may not reflect those of the Indata Project, Easter Seals Crossroads, our supporting partners, or this host. This was your Assistive Technology Update, and I'm Josh Anderson with the Indata Project at Easter Seals Crossroads in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. We look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.